Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast, where we are dedicated to championing your human potential in Christ. Visit us at edgegodin.com. Today's learning objective is to learn how to strive less and abide more in Christ. To strive less and to abide more in Christ. We're going to be pulling from two scriptures. If you're in a position to pull out your Bible, the one with the actual pages in it, and turn to Mark 8, 22 through 25, as well as John 15. We're going to be flipping back and forth between those two scriptures. Again, it's Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, as well as John chapter 15. So let's jump in. Today is a very fun and exciting topic because I feel that we can all relate to striving. The stress of striving, which is the title of today's podcast. The stress that comes from striving. Let's jump in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, we are guilty when it comes to striving to the point of exhausting ourselves, following the shiny objects, keeping up with the demands that we place upon ourselves to be successful, to be seen, acknowledged, recognized. And oftentimes it's our own inner script to be enough, to feel like we're measuring up, or perhaps it's overriding a belief system we've made about ourselves as a result of feeling that we don't have value or that it's never good enough. Whatever it is, Lord, you see it all and you love us through it all. Give us the strength to pause, to take a deep breath, and truly lean into the experience of abiding, to remain in you. In the midst of the screams of the world, we desire to hear your whisper more today than yesterday. Help us, Lord, to stress less today about the exterior events that are going on around us and to have more confidence that whatever you call us to, that you are faithful and you will do it, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, that any pestilence that is surrounding us shall not strike us again or for the first time, that you are our protection and even death is swallowed up in victory as we trust in you, as we're journeying as pilgrims through this earth experience. Help us, Jesus, to be a lighter version of who you've created us to be, to have that childlike curiosity, as well as the refreshment that comes in dropping the trinkets, the shiny objects, and the things in the world that slow us down, that cause us to be more concerned with the outer world than our inner world with you. So wake us up, Lord. Wake us up to your voice in the midst of the screams of the world, for you whisper, silence the chatter of the exterior world that has fueled a script in our mind that often keeps us awake at night, thinking about how to strive more the next day. Give us the strength to override the antics that come from our own interior striving to know that we are enough or to prove our worth or to seek the approval of those around us, as well as ourselves. Help us to step out of that dialogue that wreaks havoc against our peace. We want to know what it feels like to abide in you, to remain in you, and experience you remaining in us. We pray all of this in your most precious name. I pray that the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight for the glory and edification of everyone that you've guided to this podcast today. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. The stress of striving. Let's dissect the words a little bit in today's title. So what is stress? Well, stress is subjective. What stresses you out, perhaps it doesn't stress me out. Striving is also very subjective. What you're striving for is different from what I'm striving for. So as you're listening to today's podcast, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to tune into 1 to 3 things that will help reduce the stress you have around striving in your own life. Stress is the power you give, or I give, to any situation, an external situation, to define your worth, your value, or your ability to handle it successfully. Stress is the power you give to the outer world to define your worth, value, and what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. The definition of strive is to struggle or fight vigorously, to make great efforts to achieve something or obtain something. So what is your something that you are struggling and fighting vigorously? What are you fighting vigorously to obtain today, to get today? What's taking up your thoughts and stealing your peace? What are you striving for today? How often do you abide in your day-to-day activities? You have a certain number of hours when you're awake. Do you strive more than you abide? The definition of abide means to remain. It's a life-giving connection as followers of Christ. And chapter 15 lays out a beautiful image of what it looks like to truly abide in Christ. The branches that we see starting to get a few buds on it as we enter springtime and life starting to come back into those branches are only able to produce fruit because of one connection. They're connected to the vine. The branch is connected to the vine. The vine is producing the life, the fruit. The same is true for us as we are followers of Christ, that as we remain in Christ, as we abide in Christ, remain with Christ, and his life dwells within us, then we will bear good fruit. When we get cut off from the vine, we die. We get caught up in power, possessions, popularity, and positions in life. We lose our identity. As our recent book, a colleague, friend of mine, Jen, and I just released a book called Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You, 25 Solutions to Refresh Your Identity in Christ. And in it, we talk about what happens when your identity is hijacked by the outer world. When your identity is hijacked, you become disconnected with the vine. And because of the space of free will, God never stops longing for us to return, like the prodigal son and the father. He desires for us to come back, come closer to me today. Jesus is saying that to you. I love you. I adore you. Come closer to me today. Stay with me longer. Abide within me. As we abide, we're told in John chapter 15, as he remains in us and we remain in him, it's a co-exchange of life. We choose to remain in Christ and he remains in him. We invite him to be the Lord of our lives. Jesus, we give to you our lives. We invite you to sit on the throne of our hearts. Help us to remain in you more today than yesterday as we invite Jesus to sit on the throne of our hearts and surrender our life to him. Then that life-giving source starts to course through our body and allows us to produce good fruit. As we read in John chapter 15, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Remain in me. In John chapter 17, I circled in this particular chapter how many times John chapter 15 mentions the word remain. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 different times Jesus says the word remain. Remain in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain. Remain, remain. It might even be more than that, maybe 9 or 10 times. In the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Maybe 11 times. I keep upping it every time I read this chapter. I am the vine, you are the branch. If a man remains in me and I in him, this is the ramification of remaining in Christ. You get to bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. That's what happens when we trim our lilac bush. We trim it every year so that there's more blooms that show up in the springtime. We trim off the top part so that more blooms and more life happen. So the Father is constantly pruning us for growth and inviting us to release certain behaviors, certain habits. Today is the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday for Catholics and some Episcopals. They go and get ashes on their forehead. And so as we go and get ashes, remembering that without Christ, we are nothing. We are but dust. With Christ, we lack nothing. So it's that remembrance and entering into the Lenten experience of fellowshipping even closer with God, for giving up good for a greater good, giving up certain behaviors to draw even closer to Christ, to free up time to even draw nearer and to enter into the experience of remaining with Jesus more today than yesterday, with your time, your attention, your focus, your talents. I am the vine, he says in verse 15:5. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you remain in my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Love is the fruit of remaining with Christ, remaining in Christ, taking thoughts captive and tossing them into the lap of Christ. When we lean into Jesus and we abide in Christ, dwell with Christ, and allow him to remain in the forefront of what we think, say, and do in our mind, our will, our emotions, and toss the negative thinking, the fear, the doubt, the worry into his lap, then we get to experience that love and that peace that passes all human understanding. The Greek word for abide is meno, which means to remain or stay with. Are you staying with Jesus more today than yesterday? What are you going through today that is stealing your peace or causing anxious feelings inside? The stress of striving, when you are striving in your own efforts, you are disconnected from the vine. Notice how you feel in your body, because this is a huge indication of striving. When you are anxious about something, worried, when you can't let something go and it's taking up your thought life, you're giving free rent to wondering, why did they do that? Why did they say that? This is all part of the experience of striving. And as I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, striving is subjective. So I ask you, the listener today, what does striving look like for you? And this is the striving part that produces the anxiety and the fear that comes from attachment. I'm striving for something. Remember, the definition of striving is to struggle or fight vigorously to obtain something, to make great efforts to get something or achieve something. When you do it in your own efforts, without abiding in Christ, stress is the ramification. And not the kind of stress that is, there's good stress and there's bad stress. There's the stress that comes from a sense of excitement, eager to participate or to contribute or add value. This is the kind of striving we're talking about that's separated from abiding in Christ. This is the kind of striving that produces the anxiety aspect of stress in your life. It affects how you eat, how you sleep, how you show up in life, your intonation, your ability to be present, your ability to have poised posturing with people because you're calm and confident. When you're in Christ, you have a calm, confident manner because you can go for what God calls you to go for, but you only have one attachment. And that is you to the heart of Christ. That's the picture of the vine and the branch. It's the branch and the vine. The vine gives life to the branch, which produces the good fruit. Only one attachment. There's no other attachment that produces the good fruit. It's simply the branch and the vine. The life of the vine giving life to the branch, producing the fruit. When we strive in our own efforts, then we experience that anxiety, the sleepless nights. So what is it for you? How do you know when you're striving apart from God? How does it show up? Where does the anxiety show up for you? Is it your sleepless nights? Do you get irritated? Do you get easily frustrated? Easily bumped? Have high noticing around how striving is linked to anxiety in your life, because when you can link striving to the anxiety that it produces, this can get you off the stage of drama and you can do a little metacognition, thinking about thinking, and understand that, wow, I'm going for this in my own efforts. That's why I'm anxious that they're not going to call me back. That's why I'm really spending a ton of time on perfectionism because I'm afraid it's not going to be good enough. That's why I get easily irritated when I'm interrupted by people around me because I'm going for something I want. As followers of Christ, when you remain in the vine, you have that freedom that comes with confidence to know that whatever God calls you to, He promises us that he is faithful and he will do it. That leads to that deep breath. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go for this 100% and I'm going to have one attachment, my heart to yours. And I trust if this is according to your will and you want this to happen, whatever this is, then I trust that it will easily and naturally. When you remain in the vine and you fill your heart and your mind with the word of Christ, with the words of Jesus, my word remains in you. I remain in you and you remain in me. You will bear much fruit. It's like those times in life, and many times it's that present, that pleasant surprise. Wow, that just happens so easily. Many times those things happen in life because they are free from attachment. You're standing in your gifts and talents. You're grounded in Christ. You have that one attachment, your heart to Jesus' heart, and you're going for whatever it is, and it unfolds effortlessly. That's many times referred to as being in the flow of your gifts and talents. It's when we start to grasp and strive and struggle and fight vigorously for something, the definition of striving, that we do not remain with, which abide, the definition for abide, the Greek word for abide is meno, which means to remain or stay with. Are you staying with Jesus and seeking his wisdom and guidance along the way as you go for what you go for in life? Have you paused and asked God in the midst of striving, do you want me to spend my time, my talent, my treasure doing this? Do you want me to do this? And really pausing, hitting that pause button to abide in Christ. A great visual, and I'm a fisherwoman. I grew up fishing with my dad in Long Island, and he taught all of us how to fish, how to fly a fish, and how to use a spin rod. We did tons of fishing growing up. And one of the cool visuals that I love to use when talking about striving is the salmon run. The salmon will literally come from the ocean, and they migrate from the ocean to very high upper reaches of the rivers, like the higher gravel areas, the highest part many times of the rivers where they spawn. They're so dedicated and they strive for the fulfillment of what they're going for that they have the capability of scaling a 10-foot waterfall, going up the waterfall to reach their destination. When have you felt, or perhaps you're scaling a waterfall right now, and you're using every single physical, mental, spiritual effort to scale that waterfall? Let's hit the pause button, simply ask the question, am I doing this in my own strength? Or am I doing this in the strength of Christ within me? Whereas Jesus says, all things are possible in this place. Ask me for anything in this place. When you are asking, as we're told later on in the New Testament, as you're asking for those things that God desires to give you. Or are you striving and swimming upstream with your own effort? This is an incredible time to hit that pause button and to ask yourself a few questions. What am I attached to in this experience of striving and going for this thing that I want so desperately? Why am I striving for this thing so desperately? When I get what I'm striving for, what is the outcome? What is the ramification of all this striving? And what are the negative ramifications in my life as a result of these behaviors of striving in my life? Does it honor what I value most in this striving? Am I leaving behind those I love as I'm striving? These are all questions to ask yourself to get a little more clarity of focus around the behaviors associated with your striving for whatever it is you're striving for in life. Many times we'll get that which we were striving for, and then we're left with this anxiety or fear that we'll lose that which we are now attached to after much striving. This is all in the bucket of self-striving versus Christ abiding. It's not to say that you're not going to max out your gifts and talents. It's just looking at the source of what is pushing you up that waterfall. Is it your own efforts? Or is it the strength of Christ within you? And is this what God wants you to do? As we read in John chapter 15, verse 16, "You didn't choose me," Jesus said. Just so you guys know, you didn't choose me. I chose you to bear fruit. I've shared this story before, but one time I was striving in my own efforts, and I often hear Jesus interrupting my thoughts as I'm striving away, being a type A personality. And Jesus simply just said very politely, "What are you doing?" "I'm striving. I'm going for what I'm going for." And I've heard this very clearly. Just so you know, you're not your ambassador making your appeal for you. You're my ambassador. I am making my appeal through you. Big, big difference. And just to note, when you shift back into the vine, you sleep pretty darn good at night. It's that self-striving that causes all the anxiety, the deer in the headlights, that sense of struggle and fight. Got to figure out a way to make this work. Well, does God want it to work? Know the word of God, because this is our lighthouse in the midst of the darkness. And when we abide in Christ, when we stay with Christ, then we're able to go for what we go for by the power of the Spirit. The other verse that I'm thinking of right now as I'm speaking this out and verbalizing this is, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" Heck yeah, we're foolish. We try to attain our goal by human effort all the time. So dear God, crash this party. We give you permission to override us in all of our striving of trying to attain our goal by human effort. We want to attain the goal you desire for us to go for in life. We want what you want us to have. Help us to want what you want us to have so that we could be free, unzip, step out of the stress of striving for what we want to have. We have got to stop trying to attain our goal by human effort after beginning with the Spirit. Jesus' invitation is so sweet in John 15. Remain, 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 remain. So for your practice between now and the next podcast, pull out your Bibles, go to John chapter 15, circle every time it says remain. Ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, I give you permission to reveal to my mind all of the areas that I am striving out of my own human strength. Because I don't want to continue to do life like this. It is like a salmon scaling a 10-foot waterfall or a fish swimming through jello. I want to experience being able to run and not grow weak, walk and not faint." Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the areas that you are striving in your own human effort, by your own human effort. As we read in Zechariah Zechariah 4:6, I believe it is. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Might and power, that's what'll take your body down. Might and power. I almost took my body down in 2006 when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer. Might and power. I had to do an adjustment. I'm constantly doing an adjustment, fighting against myself, giving God permission to override me when I'm in that might and power. Not by might, not by power, not by your power, not by your might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's by the might of the spirit, the power of the spirit, that allows you to go forth and bear good fruit for the glory of God, for the glory of God, not for the glory of Lauren, not for the glory of Sue or Tom or Jim or Nancy, but for the glory of God. For the glory of God. So we're going to end with Mark chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. Now, I bring this up today because this is actually the only miracle where Jesus actually grabs the hand of the person and leads them outside of the village. Sometimes in order to reconnect to the vine, we need to be led outside of our village, meaning the hustle and bustle of life. We need to be taken out of the shiny objects for a bit, which is what the whole purpose of Lent is, to be able to remove you from those things that distract you from intimacy with Christ, so that you can give God your first fruits rather than your cell phone. Your first fruits. Give God your first fruits rather than the news, your fruits, first fruits, or the opinions of other people, or a certain desired outcome, or an outcome that wasn't your desired outcome. It's to pull back, to be led outside of those shiny objects. So here's a story we have today. Come with me on this. On Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26, they came to Bethsaida. That's a hard one to say 10 times fast. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, abiding. That means, come with me. Remain with me. Jesus sometimes has to take us by the hand because we're so entrenched in the shiny objects and trinkets of the world. We have forgotten whose we are. We've been hijacked. So he has to come in and take us by the hand. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village, the hustle and bustle of life. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus is calling you closer today so that he can help you to see everything clearly, to let go of what's not yours, what is someone else's, and to lean into him. To remain in him so that he could bear the good fruit, because he's called you first to be his ambassador. Remain in him. And Jesus sent this man home and said, don't go into the village. Very interesting. What is your village that has been distracting you from clarity of focus in Christ? Perhaps it is the opinions of other people. Perhaps it's position. Popularity, what you own, what you don't own, comparison, jealousy, envy, feeling resentment, regret. Perhaps it's entitlement. Perhaps it's, I wrote an article called 8 Ways to Have a Successful Pity Party. Perhaps it's a pity party. I was pretty good at those when I was going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. If you're going to throw one, it might as well be a good one. And Jesus will crash that scene, I'm telling you, when you invite him in. Help me, Lord, help myself. so that I can see life and have clarity of focus through your eyes for the good works you have prepared in advance for me to do. Help me to let go of this striving, the stress that comes from striving, so that I can be free from the things that cause me to become disconnected from you. You are the vine, I am the branch. Help me to remain and dwell and stay with you more today than yesterday. Are you striving or are you abiding? Are you experiencing the stress of striving or the freedom and the good fruit that is a ramification of abiding with Christ more today than yesterday? And it takes some high noticing on your part to just acknowledge the areas that you are striving that's causing you stress, to write those down. And then in Sherpa Executive Coaching, we have something called Weakness Mountain. And the first step is to acknowledge it. How does your striving show up in negative behavior? Well, I get really frustrated when I come home if something doesn't work out at work and I take it out on people at home. All right, well, what does that look like? Well, I yell, I get impatient, not listening to what people are saying in my household. Okay, we can see that behavior. You've got to be able to see the behavior. Yelling, shutting people down, crossing your arms, looking away, being on your phone, that's all behavior. What is the negative behavior that is a result of your striving in life? Overlooking people, only talking to people that are important or that can move your project forward? Or are you willing to talk to the people God puts in your life that can actually give you nothing back? I remember a story from Joyce Myers where she was in a doctor's office and there was an elderly man sitting next to her telling her all about his broken leg. And it went on and on and on and on. And finally, she got so frustrated inside, because she was studying her Bible. That was the other piece. She had her Bible and she was reading her Bible and studying and praying in the doctor's office. And this man kept interrupting her, And she got really frustrated inside, said, God, please shut this person up so that I can study my Bible. I love this example because we've all been there, striving so intensely to accomplish something or complete something that anybody that interrupts us, look out. And the question or the statement that she got back from God was pretty simple. If this was Billy Graham, would you be behaving like this? Well, no, of course not. Not if it was Billy Graham, because then Billy Graham might have been able to expand her ministry and she could get something from that. So in your striving, are you overlooking opportunities to love, which is how we ended the reading in John chapter 15 with verse 17. This is my command, love each other. Are you losing the opportunities to show Jesus love because of your striving? Ask the Holy Spirit to convict your heart, to put a person before the striving, put a human being, put people before things for his glory, not ours. Remember, we are his ambassadors and he is making his appeal through us. What do you want to do with this information today in our conversation? What do you want to commit to moving forward? Perhaps it is acknowledging it, seeing the behavior. And then the third step of Weakness Mountain, observing the behavior, is the second step. The third step is to be able to offer change behavior. Well, instead of striving, I'm going to really lean into, God, is this what you want me to do? And take time during this Lenten season to unplug, to be present to Christ, because Jesus will come and get us and take us by the hand when you are willing to be led by him out of the village so that he can perform miracles beyond what eye can see, ear can hear, and heart, mind can comprehend. Let him take your hand this Lenten season and take you out of all the shiny objects and trinkets so that he can produce the good fruit that he desires to produce through your life. Then that peace and that love will be resurrected to the forefront of your words, your thoughts, your deeds, and your behavior, because you will be living from the inside out versus the outside in. Abiding always lives from the inside out. Striving is living from the outside in. And the choice is ours. Choose well, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Choose well, because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Dear Lord, may we stand firm and not allow ourselves to be burdened by the yoke of slavery, of striving for self-interest, self-advancement, self-focus. We give you permission to do a check on our motives as to why we do what we do and spend our time doing what we're doing. Help us to remember we're your ambassadors and you are making your appeal through us for your glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Enjoy your gift of life today and enjoy taking time to push that pause button and to perhaps listen to this podcast again. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's for me in this? Because I want to change my behavior. I want to see it. I want to observe where it shows up. Show me where I am striving apart from you, because I want to abide now moving forward more today than yesterday. Visit us at edgegodin.com for more podcasts to help champion your human potential in Christ. Give them heaven out there. There's enough of the other side going on. Outshine the darkness.